When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record in my car at the end of my workday, encapsulating a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. The intro is starting to sound like it's practiced. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. But anyway, so what am I thinking about today? Well, it was from the 17th, March 17th, 2010. I was watching a TED Talks podcast. And there was an interview with a gal with the last name of McGonagall. I don't remember her first name. I apologize for that. But I'll just encapsulate what the talk was about. It was about how being a gamer this generation of video gamers could very well be a group of people who could save the world for a variety of reasons. And she was a very good public speaker, and it was a very interesting presentation that she made. But I got hung up on something specifically that she said in there, and I think it pertains to our lives as cartoonists. Something she was talking about as she was describing why gamers are so enraptured with these made-up worlds of video games. And one of the specific things she highlighted as to why virtual worlds are more satisfying than the real world is that there is, how did she put it? There was more gratification in achieving things in a video game. Like in the example she cited was when she walked off, after her talk was finished, when she walked off the stage, she wasn't going to get a plus one public speaking, plus two courage, like you do in a role-playing game. Like there's this visual representation of what you are achieving in a video game in a leveling up of some sort, right? And she was saying how real life is less satisfying because we don't have that tangible validation for what we are doing. And while I don't want to refute anything she said specifically, one, because I'm afraid of sounding like an old man who just says, video games, schmidio games, but also because she's not here to defend herself, and I don't want to turn this podcast into arguing with other people virtually. But I did think it was kind of a shame that people would think that it is a dissatisfying feature of real life that we don't get that immediate gratification, visual gratification for our achievements. I guess it's going to be a little bit of a philosophical episode but I do think it pertains to being a cartoonist because one of the things that's really, potentially frustrating about what we do is, yeah, you work really hard at being a cartoonist, and you work a lot of hours on a page of artwork that somebody's going to spend maximum 5 minutes looking at, and that was 20 hours of your life that got invested in that page. And yes, you're going to get the artist who looks at it, and they're going to spend as much time staring at it as you did working on it, but that's only a fellow artist who does that. The general public at large isn't going to care as much, right? And what's more is that there's only so many awards to go around if you go in for that kind of thing. The odds are not in your favor that you're going to win an Eisner or a Harvey or an Ignatz. Only a few people get to get those things. I mean, that's the closest thing we got to a visual representation of leveling up in life, right? Or there's money too. But even that, I think, is a bit of a suspect measure of how well you are doing, because you can be an excellent artist and not be celebrated and not be widely recognized by an audience. I mean, I know too many artists who are truly excellent who don't enjoy amazing amounts of financial success in what they do. So then what? What's the point then, right? Well, okay, a couple things. One, I think of the Thundercats episode. Yes, I'm invoking cartoon episodes to find wisdom. Is that a surprise to you? It shouldn't be. There's an episode of the Thundercats where Lion-O saves these brute men from the mutants and Mumm-Ra. And after he frees them, he says to them, "You're free." And the brute men say, "We're free, we're free." And they just walk away. And Lion-O's kind of disappointed. And Tiger says, "Well, what's wrong?" He's like, "Well, they didn't even say thank you." And Tiger says to him, "Well, is that why you do this? For thanks?" And Lion-O says, "No, I do it because it's the right thing to do." And I think about that expression a lot, that moment in that cartoon a lot, as being a reminder of why we do what we do, because it's right for us to do it. It's what we really, dreamt of, what we've always wanted to do, and therefore it's right for us to do it. But that doesn't give you any kind of visual validation. And but I think that's a good thing. I honestly think that that is part of what makes being, at least this is where I get on my little jag about Western philosophy, but I think that what's, what makes like the Western philosophy so interesting and so cool. I'm going to borrow a little bit from Joseph Campbell now. Joseph Campbell did a series of speeches which were collected on CD, and I highly recommend, if you enjoy the same kind of stuff I do, you should check him out. He had a lot of interesting thoughts on not only comparative mythology, but I think a lot of it translates to learning how to write well and think about writing well. But in one of his speeches about Western civilization, and specifically the Arthurian Grail legend, he talks about at the end of one of the different iterations of the Grail legend, one of the knights stands up and says, "I propose we go off in quest of this thing called the Grail." And the text, according to Campbell, reads something along the lines of, "They thought it would be disgraceful if they went off in a group. So each of them went into the forest adventurous, where it was darkest and there was no path." And this is where I quote Campbell, where he said, "Because where there's a way or a path, it's someone else's way." So that is the essence of being an individual independent artist, is going off on our own. There's nobody to support us. I mean, yes, there's things like this podcast to help remind you why you do what you do. There's inspirational speakers. There's also whatever entertainment and music that inspires you. But ultimately, it's on you. You are the one who has to do this thing, and nobody can help you. Another movie that I talk about a lot that has a lot of this kind of wisdom in it is the 1997 Disney film Hercules, where Hercules says to Zeus about partway through the film, he's achieving great success as a hero. He's a celebrity. He's the richest man and most famous man in all of Greece. And he goes to Zeus and he says, "I'm ready to go to heaven now. I did it. I became a true hero." And Zeus says, "Oh, I'm sorry. Being famous isn't the same as being a true hero." And Hercules says to him, "What do I do?" And Zeus says, "It's something you have to figure out for yourself." He cannot help him. Zeus, the king of the gods, can't help his own son, because this is the kind of thing you have to find out for yourself. Finding that inner spark, that thing that keeps you going, that makes you keep doing what you're doing day to day, is the thing that is purely yours. And this is why I think that the lack of validation is a good thing, because when you find it in yourself, it is purely yours. Nobody else gets to take claim to it. I've gotten into debates off mic, and this is where I get to be a little bit more candid with you guys because of these microcasts. I've gotten into debates with my friends over the use of the word proud. I had a student in class who had done some impressive work, and she had published some of her work, and it was being well received, and she was doing very well with it. And a friend of mine said to me, "You must be very proud of her." And I said, "No, I'm happy for her. But I don't have the right to be proud of her. That was her achievement, not mine. I guided her, and I helped her when I could. But ultimately, that book is her achievement, not mine. I take no claim to it, and I cannot in good conscience say that I am proud of her for doing that. I'm happy for her, and I'm proud of the fact that I got to teach her. But ultimately, pride resides in the individual." And that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this validation, this inner validation, this reason for keep doing what you're doing. It has to come from within. And when it does come from within, it is something, well, I'm going to make one more cartoon reference, then I'm going to close this one out. The final episode of the original Transformers series, before they did the Headmasters miniseries, is called The Burden Hardest to Bear. And in that episode, Rodimus Prime, the new leader of the Autobots post-movie, loses the Matrix, the vessel that all the leaders have to carry. And it gets taken up by the Decepticons, and it gets used for all these bad things, and Hot Rod reverts back to being Rodimus Prime. And the whole time, the real struggle of the thing is that whether or not he wants to take up the mantle of leadership again. They set up early in the episode that he's frustrated with being the leader, that everybody's bringing their problems to him all the time, and he's having sort of an Autobot version of a midlife crisis, for lack of a better term. And in the end, he decides that he belongs to the Matrix as much as it belongs to him. He owns his job as much as this job owns him. He gives himself over to it. That's kind of supporting my point, but really what supports my point is the final line of the episode. When Hot Rod reclaims the Matrix, becomes Rodimus Prime again, he bumps into Cup, this older Autobot who serves as his advisor throughout the series. And Cup says to him, "Oh, son of a gun, you found that missing part, huh?" And Hot Rod says, "Not just the Matrix, Cup, a missing part of myself." And Cup says, "That's the point, son. No matter who carries the Matrix, that's the part that you'll never lose." That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this individual struggle that we all face alone in the darkness. It is scary, and it is frustrating, and it seems unrewarding. But when we face it on our own, with nobody there to help us, the victories are totally ours, and nobody gets to say that they're proud of us. It's our achievement. And that, I think, is one of the truly wonderful things about Western civilization. And I'll wrap it up there before I get more, before I start sounding any more like a motivational speaker. Because my whole thesis was supposed to be a refutation of being a motivational speaker. Motivational speakers are people who give you the 12-step plan that it's just this easy. If you just follow A, B, and C, you'll be a success like me. I never want to come across as that person or promote any of my ideas as that kind of methodology, because ultimately I don't think that there is any kind of step plan. I think that all of us have to take our own path through that forest adventurous. And I think that that's a rewarding thing, and I don't think that that's something to be terribly afraid of or frustrated about. And that's one of the reasons why I don't play that many video games, I guess. Okay, who am I? I'm Jersey Droz of jdroz.com. I'm Jersey on Twitter, J-E-R-Z-Y. Don't forget to check out the other great shows on artandstorypodcast.com, like Mark Rudolph's Microcast, Mark of the Beast, Kevin Cross's High Adventure Daily, the videos, the extra Art and Story Extremes, and the extra Art and Story Supreme, the extra monthly show that we do, and the forums. You can discuss all this stuff that we talk about in the forums. We're looking forward to hearing from you there. So thank you once again for your support of this project. We could not do it without you. I know I say that every time, and maybe that gets tiresome to hear over and over again, but you know what? I think it's something that bears repeating. Your support makes this thing possible. So however good it makes you feel to listen to this, man, it's 10 times better for us because we get that financial support that says you think that this stuff is worth something. That is huge. I can't even describe the words to... I can't find words to describe how good that makes us feel. So thanks a lot. It really does mean a lot to us. Okay. All the gushy stuff aside, I'll see you guys soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. And remember, everybody.
In today's story, Elena tried taking a magic potion which she thought would help her. Well, she found out there aren't any magic potions. And you know what? There aren't any magic drugs either. Anytime you take one from anybody but your parents or your doctor, you're taking a very big chance. You're gambling with your health, maybe even your life. Drugs don't make your problems go away. They just create more.